and gentlemen, cordially welcome to our conference call for Allianz SE on the publication of the business result of the third quarter 2008. For your information, this conference will be recorded. And I'd like to give the word to Mr. Booth. Good morning, too. On Friday, we had the press release published on the third quarter, because there were two aspects that were important. First, the sale of Dresden to Commerzbank, and the markdowns in the third quarter were a bit lower than expected, and the liquidity ratio was higher than expected, and there were two positive surprises. Dr. Helene Palme, the board member of Allianz SE, will lead you through the figures and then answer your questions. We have two special topics prepared for you. Once they give you an overview of the figures of Ebra, as mentioned before, and there is a difference in the reporting, and Dr. Pellet will also give you a status report on our investment portfolio. I give the floor to Dr. Pellet.
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can see that the presentation is getting thicker with the special points, but I'm trying to keep it in time, so that you have still enough time for questions. I'd like to start into the presentation, summarizing in the third quarter and also for the continued operations without Dresdner Bank. We had a 1.6 billion operating profit, and after 9 months, 6.5 billion year to date. And all core segments make contributions to that. And in PSB, which is the main segment, which is largely unaffected by the financial market crisis and still working and providing profits reliably and stably. Mr. Gross mentioned that before. We have a very good, strong capital position. Our solvency is within the target levels and the deal margin, and the sale of Dresdner Bank is running according to plan. It's also important to note in the continued operations There are no balancing changes, and following the clarification by the SEC with regard to the structured products and also the facilitation, the IASB restructuring of certain assets of trading into available for sales and to maturity or loans and receivables was not taken care of, because that's why these market figures can be compared. And given the scenario of the financial crisis and the fact that the 6.5 billion year-to-date operating profit after 9 months were slightly below the expectations, we believe that the originally targeted level of 9 billion for the operating business 2008 cannot be achieved. And if there is no recovery at the stock price and markets in 2009, then the 9 billion that we originally planned for 2009 as a forecast for 2009 cannot be achieved any longer. This is just a preliminary statement. Then on page 3, you can see the major results: 1.6 billion operating profit, and a quarterly surplus of the continued operations is 545 million. And the non-discontinued, the discontinued activities, which is Dresdner Bank without OLP and Allianz customers, minus 2.5 billion. So that means altogether you have a quarter less of 2 billion. Year to date, the annual surplus after 9 months, inclusive of the discontinued operations, is 667 million. Then I'd like to go to page 4, the solvency level, and is on target level. And by the 30th of September, we get a solvency rate of 157%. And you can see this on the right-hand side. These are the key factors, the influential factors, due to the deconsolidation of Dresdner Bank within this quarter. By the 30th of September, we've got a still positive effect of 9% percentage points, and which is just a momentarily shot, and this positive effect is going to increase in the time by the time of closing, all being things being equal, to the amount of 10% percentage point. and I mentioned during our last discussion of our quarterly results for the annual and for the half year, that the solvability quarter, we won't have a level playing field with our other European competitors, because unrealized gains and losses on fixed income papers are not included into the solvency quota. BaFin reacted upon that and issued a changed proposal and a draft which is ready for hearing and for comments, and I think by the 21st of this month it will be available for discussion. On that basis we have an improvement of 13 percentage points, which contributes to the solvency quota of 157%. When calculating this solvency rate, we also included a dividend as a deduction pro rata of 1.6 billion. And you might ask yourself, where do these 1.6 billion come from? This 1.6 billion correspond to 40% of the surplus of the continued operation, and that's why it, it corresponds to the communication that we've had in the past for our dividend policy. And I'd like to state that by the end of October, despite the fact that this month was one of the worst months at all for shares, our solvability quota with 152% is still on target level, and with also with regard to our rating, we got a capital position which is trust is much above the requirements for double A rating. That's why we have again capital position which is very good in the competitive environment. And I'd like to go to individual influential factors on the group level, the group items. Let me start with the revenues development, and it, you are not surprised by that, and it was more or less negatively influenced by the environment, the economic environment, in particularly life and health, and which on a comparative basis is 8.7% less, and the financial market crisis is gives a strong pressure on investment-oriented products, and altogether they've dropped by 1.3 billion. As you can see, this unit-linked product went down by 1.3 billion, and it was basically seen by the sale of these products through banking, which basically is on fund-related products. This is 0.6, which is of bank assurance, minus 0.6 billion. But also positive development of traditional business to grow considerably, and it has and it shows a 5% growth, which is a value that makes us really content. Now in P&C, we've got an internal growth of 7.8%, which is quite nice to see, but on the other hand it's a bit exaggerated because of the relatively complicated registration of the crop failure insurance in our book. And if you look at the special effect, which is purely, if you adjust by this accounting effect, our internal growth is still 5%. And but nevertheless, I might also say that before, we still keep our focus on P&C. It's still unchanged, and it's very disciplined underwriting and policy and underwriting of risk, where we also can reckon with a risk adequate price. Then on page 7, you can see the development of the operating segment, and I'm going to talk about that a bit more. On page 8, which is non-operating business, you can see that the major factor, and as I made steer your attention to the box on the right-hand side, write-up, and we had 921 impairments and 753 on equities, 134 million on debt securities. And you might remember that when discussing the second quarter, I estimated once the shares are going down by 10%, we have to reckon with 600 million impairment. Now we've got 750 of the equities with a drop of 10%, like assumed back then. And the higher value is also because that some of the financial values performed below average and are not in line with the index. And for the annual surplus and the quarterly surplus, and I think that slide is more or less self-explanatory. It was spent more time on page 10, the explanation of the address and bank transaction. On the left-hand side, you can see the composition of the sales proceeds by 31st of August, when the transaction was announced. And to remember that altogether, this transaction or the sale proceeds is considering the first component, a cash of 1.7.8 and Cominvest asset management, which are the asset management activities of Commerzbank, amounting to 350 million Commerzbank shares, and also from the distribution agreement and the trust agreement, where out of the purchase price that Commerzbank pays, 975 million were deposited as a risk umbrella for particularly identified assets. The evaluation of these items per as of 13th September 2008, it can be seen in the middle column of this slide. And that's why let's look at that, the cash component. For Cominvest, we've got a valuation opinion with the known 0.7 million available for that. 0.7 billion, I'm sorry. And the actual question, which is interesting, what about the Commerzbank shares? How can they be valued? You know that at the end of the day, we've got a 28.6%, we're going to have a shared equity of Commerzbank. These are 28.6%. Are not included in the share price of Allianz, but have to be balanced at equity in the books of Allianz. That means with the equity calculated through coming from Commerzbank. And if you take the equity by Commerzbank by 30th of September, these are 350 million of shares and represent a share of 4.9 billion as the share of the equity of Commerzbank, which is shown here as our share, Commerzbank share equity. Now for the risk umbrella, we were trying to make a market valuation, and I'd like to be careful. It was valued at 100 million, so that means our downside in the worst case scenarios is limited to 100 million, and but also there might be an upside available if the assets protected perform better. The sales agreement, the distribution agreement, has 500 million in the evaluations and has to be shown in the books as element as intangible asset. It has to be shown in the books of Allianz. So per 30 September 2008, we have a fair value of 7.8 billion. This fair value, amounting to 7.8 fair value, is the book value of Dresdner Bank, and with nine, there has to be just a position to 9.2 of Dresdner Bank carrying value, derived from an adjustment, a loss of 1.4 billion is derived from this transaction. Then the net loss of Dresdner in the third quarter of 1.2 billion, altogether the net loss for discontinued operations amounting to minus 2.6 billion in the third quarter. Now let me give you two explanations for that. Some of you are going to object. 3 months ago you told us that the book value of Dresdner Bank was 10.4 or 10.5 billion. That's right, but that was the book value at the 30th of June. And the book value has to be continued in order to reflect the income in the third quarter in order to be reduced by that, and this results in the 9.2 billion. And the second question, to anticipate that question, because you're going to ask this question, I'm sure, what does this mean for the future, and how does this result, how is it able to change in the future? Basically, there are two components that we have to look at. The final evaluation, for the final evaluation, we have to follow the logic that I've just explained. That means that the equity of Commerzbank and during the time of closing one and closing two will be relevant. This equity is going to change by two components. It may and can change by these two components. First of all, by the profit at Commerzbank by closing 1 and 2. If it makes a profit, then our loss will be reduced. And if Commerzbank is making a negative result, then our loss will be increased. And secondly, the equity of Commerzbank is also influenced by the capital increases in closing 1 and close 2, and also in the share price during the time of the capital increase. Now, in our calculation for the 7.8 billion, we looked at the share price of Commerzbank and we took the €10.40 for this capital increase by the 30th of September for this capital increase. So much for the transaction. And we not only have a very good solvency quota, but also we still have a very good capital base, which is 37.5 billion, and you can see this on page 11. And I don't have to refer to the changes, and I would like to directly go to P&C. Like I mentioned, largely unaffected by the financial crisis, P&C segment remains a reliable profit driver, and which is running also in difficult times. We had an operating income of the third quarter of 1.25 billion, which is 200 million below the result of the corresponding previous year quarter. And as you can see on the right hand side table, this is basically because of a worse technical result, and because we have two special income influences here, which are due to the capital market to some extent. First of all, the credit insurances. Currently, several suppliers are in arrears at the moment, and that's an early indicator for a higher property payments and the loss payments that we have to make in the future. And Fireman's Fund, after the crop price losses, they had to accept losses from the crop insurance. And these two factors, basically declared the 200 million deterioration on the technical side. Otherwise, our P&C business, well, as far as I believe, is in excellent standing, because we're still place more importance on profitability than growth. And to make it shortly, year to date, after 9 months, we got 4.4 billion operating business, which is 200 million less, or 250 million less than in the corresponding period of the previous year, apart from the two special influences. If you look at the premiums received, I mentioned that 7.8, and that is distorted by this crop failure business in the US. And that also applies to Fireman's Fund. If you look at the left-hand table, you see a growth of 34%, and Fireman's basis on a net basis has only grown by 2.5%. You don't need to be appalled that we've lost our common sense or so, but in a soft market environment, we don't underwrite risks, and we still are aware of the risks and move ahead. We're disciplined. What is interesting for you, if you look at the premiums altogether, then most internal growth is volume driven, and the price changes with minus 0.5% slightly dropping, and which is more or less the margin that you've seen from the previous quarters. And also the influential factors for this negative price effect are the same. And in motor business, overall, we see a price reduction with, inclusive of the bonus malus changes, of minus 1.3%, whereas the remaining business shows increasing prices of roughly 1%. From a regional standpoint, the price drop is the strongest in the U.S., with roughly 4%, whereas in England and Australia, we're talking about a much more stabilized price level. And Germany, altogether, we've got a flat price development. If you look at the development of the combined ratio, combined ratio in the third quarter was 96.2%, and that's an increase of 2.1%, which is going. And with 96.2, we are out of our target area, which is largely declared by the two factors I've mentioned, Euler Hermes and Fireman's Fund. And if you look at the other portfolio, then they technically can see very satisfying results in all the important countries. And on the right-hand side, you see the development of the cost quota, which shows 1.4% improvement going directly into the right direction. And you remember that our midterm target is 25%, and I'm quite confident that the continued implementation of the initiated efficiency measures. We're going along this target line for the first 9 months. In the course of the business, we have got a combined ratio of 94.9. In order to achieve our 94% goal, we had, in the fourth quarter, we had to have a combined ratio of 91%. And I assumed, honestly, that within this market environment, this cannot be achieved. But I'm quite positive that we're going to close this business year below the 95% level. Then finally, let's look onto the capital income. And I've revised this chart a bit in order to show you a better picture of the capital income. And I think what you can see on the right-hand side, which is quite clear, that out of the capital investments, we provide a very stable contribution to the operating income of 1 billion per quarter. We're going to achieve that. And that means if you assume 4 billion operating income and a combined ratio of 95%, then we would have a basis line of 6 billion in the operating business, which, like I said, is largely unaffected by the capital market risk and also the capital investment results. Also, given the scenario of an investment portfolio, which shows a high credit quality, is seen to be a stable influential factor. That means within this business, also, even if the market going to stay soft, we don't have to be worried. And let me go to life and health. And the statement is quite clear. Market conditions require their toll. And with the capital market turbulences out there, no one is surprised by that. Nevertheless, we've seen a positive operating income of 280 million, which is 75%. With 75% is below the third quarter of the previous year. Some of you might remember that in the third quarter of the previous year, we had a positive one-time effect from the true-up of insurance provisions in Korea amounting to 170 million, which explains, if you look at the results and the profits on the right-hand side, the result of the technical result. Without the special item, then the technical result would have been stayed unchanged. What you can also see out of this development on the right-hand side is that the capital market crisis basically has an influence on the capital market result, and that's the stages, the main change with the previous year as opposed to the previous year due to value adjustments on the one-hand side and much less sales income from the other side. Also, the costs are affected because there's a lower investment capital base in unit-linked business, obviously leads to less asset management fees. And also, on the other hand side, due to the reduction of premiums, there's less expense holding in order to cover the fixed cost block, and which explains the reduction on the expense side. All business areas were affected by this development, almost all countries. And a company in the asset life in the U.S., as you could see from the interim report, was most affected by the crisis because there was a big hit by credit spreads and lower contributions. And it was largely hit by this development. If you look at the development on the left-hand side, this largely affects and reflects the reasons which I stated at the beginning. A reduction of our turnover in the asset-based products, and which is basically the unit-linked business, and moreover the sales of these products through the bank channels, and which you know this, and this was quite strong in Asia and Italy, in Taiwan and Korea and China. Those were the strongest countries where it was affected the most in China, and also the sale of our variable annuity products in the overall context of the U.S. market, which has dropped by 19%, and then accordingly this result was pressed downwards. What is positive is the traditional business, which has still developed nicely with 5% plus, altogether in the countries like Germany, Switzerland, but also the traditional business in France and Spain. But despite this decline in top line, our cash flows are quite good. In LMH, we got 4 billion net proceeds in the fourth quarter, net inflows of 4 billion. And we, in the first 9 months, we had 11 billion influx. And that means the things are moving into the right direction. Capital investment results, and also like in P&C, which was also adjusted here. And you can see that out of the running capital base and in the interest and dividend, we've derived a very strong result contribution of 3.3 billion per quarter, and with 13 billion we're clearly ahead to the factual guarantee interest that would have to be paid, which is 8 billion. That means alone from that we have 5 billion surplus, which means if the capital crisis goes on, and we would have to assume that for some limited time there would be a good buffer for impairments available without this being at the burden of the result in the end of the day. But look at the banking business, only briefly, because our continuous banking business has now much smaller dimensions as it used to be with Dresdner Bank, and I think page 23 is more or less self-explanatory. We had banking activities in France, Italy, France and Poland and Hungary, and out of Dresdner Bank, the OLB is coming into as well, and also there are 1 million Dresdner Bank customers are going to be maintained, which are being serviced by and which were gained by the distribution channel of Allianz. On an annual basis, this shows 600 million of operating revenues, and the result is going towards zero because the large portion of these operations were done on a greenfield basis, which are still being built up, and that's why that will take some time in order to show clearly positive results. On page 24, you can see the results and the operating profit on an itemized basis. I would like to mention by the until the end, final consolidation of Dresdner Bank, in external transactions we're going to show a banking item, and after final consolidation of Dresdner Bank we need to decide, but I would like to assume that because of the size, 600 million turnover as compared to 40 billion or 45 billion in P&C and life and health, we won't itemize this separately any longer in the future on the balance sheet. That leads me to asset management. In our development on the capital markets also showed an impact on the asset management side, and that made this the third quarter a difficult quarter for our colleagues. This downside of the share markets and also the gained value of the US dollar versus the third quarter 2007 had strong effects, whereas the effects on the operating business, as you can see here, were quite considerable. Nevertheless, the asset under managed was quite relatively stable because of net inflows. Looking at the operating developments in the individually, then you would see a strong effect by exchange rates and also by the non-recurring effects, and the exchange rates cost us 50 million on the revenue side. That means adjusted by exchange rate adjustments, the turnover of the commission surplus would have been increased. But also in other income, we would have 63 million less. And to put it generally, these are trade results, and these are readjustment values on Sigmarine, and also changes of exchange rate hedges. And there is another increase of the operating expenses increasing, which I'm going to explain in the next slide in 1 second. If we turn to the next page and we look at the development of operating revenues and expenses according to the various divisions, then you can probably not see at the first moment, but if you look down in the table, our fixed income business, nevertheless, is still very good. And we've got a 16% growth on the operating revenues. Costs have increased under proportionally. That means in the fixed income business, also our operating revenues have further improved. And we've seen a clear drop in the share business. You know, the share price development in the most important markets in the US and Germany, where we had a lot of outflows out of the share prices. And that's why, of course, our activities were affected by that as well, because there was a value loss, and the costs were not reduced in the same way like the revenues, because we believe that the platform, once the market has stabilized, then they're going to be the right platform in order to generate growth and in order to take part in this upswing that is going to come. And the same amounts to our distribution division, whereas on the one hand side we had to accept a drop in turnover, but further we invested in the expansion of the infrastructure on the other hand side. Now if you look at investment performance and third-party net inflows, then you can see on a three-year basis 51% of our assets have outperformed the benchmark, and that's why they are drastically below the previous value of 87%. We'd like to state that the share performance of 54% is still quite good. Fixed income were affected by the distortions of the U.S. market and the drops in the U.S. market, and then the outperformance of 47% was pressed down by that. And due to the high volatility of the equity market, and then the AGE is still well positioned. AGI is well positioned in this business, which it can be seen on the right hand side. You see 8.5 billion fixed income net inflows by third parties. And as you know, this is one of the bases for the profits of tomorrow. And seeing this on an annual basis after 9 months, we look at 39 million of third-party net inflows, which exclusively come from the business with fixed income security. That's now the point where I'd like to talk about the special topic mentioned by Mr. Gross already. Fresna as is, and the shape as you know it so far. And on the page 30, you can see in the third quarter, we got an operating loss of 835 million. And the profit drivers are shown here. The operating revenues were slightly down to 127 million, which is basically a consequence of the trade result, but also further slightly going down, commission surplus, and then the interest surplus, OIRs, is quite stable, and especially PCC developed nicely. Then the commission surplus has reduced, and the activities are still on a low level in the next quarter, and that also applies to consulting business and investment side. And the main driver is the trade business. Looking at divisions, then PCC shows a drop of 20 million, which is rather stable, and the main share comes from the investment banking. And of course, contributing factors, as you can see on the slide, the markdowns of 343 make their contribution. The operating expenses have been reduced by 212, or increased, you could say, which is basically because of change of control regulations and old premiums. In order to say that clearly, beyond this development, we have not lost sight of the costs. And if you look at the first 9 months, then the HR expenses have been reduced by 40 million, and the non-life expenses by 134 million. That means there is cost discipline, which is still being pursued in our company. And for the first time, then for a lot of quarters, you see a large increase of the net LLP. Out of these, -200 million belonging to a few bigger commitments. And behind these 240 million, you can also see write-down on Lehman Brothers, where we had 80% on our unsecured positions, which were written down. Then on page 31, you can see the regular picture of the critical exposure development. Let me say a few words about that. And let me start, if you look at the footnote number 3, the actual, in order to better reflect the actual conditions, certain assets on the basis of IFRS 39 were reclassified on IAS 39, and this was shown the net of here, 450 million benefit, and there was a 155 of new value evaluation. Then the capital was changed by 250 million and 650 million. This is not a contradiction to page 1. No accounting changes, because these no accounting changes, first of all, relate to the continued operations, and secondly, but that's important to understand, this reclassification or an adjustment, improvement of profit and loss by 450 million, has not affected the overall result of Allianz, because this is just a shift of current results towards higher value adjustments. And again, the group result is absolutely unaffected by that, and in the future, it will stay unaffected. And in this connection, I'd like to stress that Erste Bank has reclassified certain assets in the nominal value of 1.7 billion. But we're going to continue with the valuation principles like we used to use them in the past. That means whenever there are observable marks, we're going to these were used for evaluation. And the third statement I'd like to make, the net exposure in the CDOs and ABS, as compared to the previous quarter, has increased, which is due to the fact that in line of the reorganization or the valuation activities for the monoline, as the monolines have lost, and the 2.5 billion are also upright positions that were taken over. And the last statement I would like to say, the entire profit and loss effect was 900 million, 100 million out of LBO, which you can largely see with 90 million in the previously mentioned reduction or increase of the value adjustment, 650 million markdowns on ABS exposure, and 148 million due to the further increase of the credit spread on K2. The last statement about Dresdner, but it's important, and you can see this on page 32. With 8.1%, we're still moving in a very good competitive core capital quarter in the market. As a sound liquidity profile, you know the principle too, with short-term liquidity, which amounts to 1.1, which is very good, and the funding of Dresdner is secured. Finally, I'd like to mention the special topic of investment. Because of the current market conditions out there, people are thinking what other markdowns and risks may be discovered in the financial services, which might be hidden in the portfolios. To bring it to the point before, in our portfolio, there is no reason to be concerned. The financial market, and despite the financial market crisis, our capital basis and the solvency could be maintained or could even be increased. In order to avoid redundancies, I may skip page 34, and go directly to page 35. Altogether, we've got insurance investments of 362 billion, and you can see how this is structured in the capital breakdown and the gross view, and it's quite helpful. These amounts reflect the capital breakdown after reduction by IFRS and taxes and minorities, and also the hedging used to protect us against share market risks. Looking at that under risk evaluation, we've got a capital need of 13.1 billion in a worst-case scenario. The excess solvency, as you can see on the previous page, would be enough in order to cover this worst-case scenario. On page 36, like in the last quarter, I showed you an overview of the effects another share price stress would have on our profit and solvency quarter. On the left-hand side, you can see the net income impact of unexpected impairments. Based on the various equity market levels by October, the markets have lost 15%, and assuming that the markets are not going to recover by the end of the year and going to stay on that level, this would lead to additional value adjustments amounting to 1 billion in our profit for the fourth quarter. Solvency quarter, but we've mentioned that already. Due to this, share price development was reduced by 10 percentage points without considering positive effects, like in the US dollar increase that we're observing at the moment. I'd like to say a few words about our fixed income portfolio on page 37, and you can see that our fixed income portfolio shows high quality and also diversified. There's a share of 60% results from government and fund brief coverage fund, and as you can see of this rating, we have a very high credit quality. Next page shows you an overview of the limited impairments, not only in the month 2008, but also the impairments that adjustments we had in the past four years, and you can see that the average was 5 percentage points within the double range within the overall portfolio. All the impairments are shown on the right here on British assets or the defaults that were taken of Lehman, like I said before, was 80% on. We adjusted it by all unsecured positions the same applies to Washington Mutual and also the AIG, all the items were written down to zero. And just lately, and I come to page 39, we've had heard negative news from the credit qualities of the various countries. That's why we broke down the markets in the public focus. And this is basically from the G10 country and our commitment in markets which are in public focus in particular is below 4.5 billion, which is 1.5% out of our overall portfolio. And I'd like to mention two things on the side. Of course, we've got exposure in these types of countries and where we are operating a business there because the local investment regulations require reinvestment in local currency. And I'd like to expressly stress that we don't go into individual countries only because we believe that interests are relatively or particularly attractive. And you can see this by the end of the table looking at some countries there is no bet that we take in these countries. And also another statement also with regard to structured credit. You know this slide from previous presentation. Then our exposure is underweighted and also from the in terms of the rating quality is 97%. AAA is absolutely presentable. And subprime exposure in this overall portfolio of 20 billion ABS is at 25 million. I repeat that. Finally, I'd like to say something about liquidity. Liquidity currently is talked about and causes some concern out there. And liquidity is not a problem in insurance business because the payments can be planned and premiums are being paid beforehand. And I was trying to explain in the previous slide, we are generating positive cash flow considerably. And for those of you who are not comforted by that alone, then you may look at the public funds and the German fund paper, the German bonds, there are more than 100 billion as open market policy, which is eligible as collateral at ECB in order to generate free liquidity, which is more than 100 billion. And I don't think we have to add anything to that. Then I come to the end, and I might summarize this in one sentence. We are in a difficult environment, but I think our fundamentals are still quite strong, and that applies to the profitability in our core business, and it particularly applies to our equity base, and we don't have any accounting changes made in order to do a bit of touching up these colors, and the sale of Dresdner Bank is on track. Hopefully, I stayed within the time, Mr. Gross, and that we have still enough time for your questions. Yes, thank you very much. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on our telephone keeper. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Thank you very much.
Our first question, Axel Hoffner from Handelsblatt. Please go ahead. Mr. Gellner, for three little questions, if you count back on share basis, could you say what is the rate for the Commerzbank, 4.9 billion? The second question is, can you explain to me once again why Dresdner so far has not been rescued, and do you think that the cover is sufficient or is no longer worthwhile before it goes to Commerzbank? And the third question, acquisition, do you see the possibility to use the weakness of competitors, and where could you do things in that area? And are you already negotiating? Well, your first question, what is the rate of Commerzbank in the books? Just to clarify things, they're not missing one another. Commerzbank, of course, is not yet written in the books. We just have the presumed loss in our accounting. But if you have the 4.9 million from this line, you convert that, that amounts to 16 euros per Commerzbank share. Second point, Dresdner Bank bailout umbrella, I pointed out 8%, like I said, is still very competitive and far off capital base, and so we do not intend to do anything about the Dresdner Bank in that area using that umbrella. And Mr. Blessing, also for the new institute, has given a target ratio of 7 to 8%. So Dresdner Bank would be very convenient in the center of that range of 8% acquisitions. Of course, that is a very controversial question at the present time. You know what I always used to say, no comment, I cannot state on that. But Mr. Ober, of course, you look around what is being offered in the market, but I'd like to add one thing. In these days, it's very important that your own capital base is not put at risk, and this applies to all topics that are being discussed or not discussed here, that there are, will be the superior decision criteria. Next question, please. Thank you. Next question. Christian Krema from Reuters. Hello, gentlemen. A few smaller questions. First of all, generally speaking, to be sure, capital increase for Allianz is not necessary, question mark. Second question, a few analysts have said maybe the dividend should be shortened to strengthen the capital base. Rundfunk announced to keep the dividend stable. Can you make any announcement and give you some guidance where you be headed at Allianz? And third question, a more philosophical question. You exchanged the Dresden risk by Commerz Bank rate risk. These are my three questions. Well, first question, capital increase necessary? Clear no. I think 157, look at that and compare the two competitors' reports. I think we are doing very well and very convenient. Second question, reduction of dividends and how are things? You will understand that at the present time I cannot make any statement on dividends because this is a topic of the supervisory board. They will have to decide. But I can tell you at this stage that in our solvency ratio of 157, which is already has already deducted the dividend of 1.6 billion assets for the first few months. Now you may ask, where do the 1.6 billion come from? This is based on the consistency what we have done so far regarding for dividends. We said dividends, our dividends should be measured by the payout of the competitors, and in the past it was 40. I don't know how it will be in the future, but 30% of our net income after 9 months before it discontinued ops leads to exactly to the 1.6 billion that we think is possible in developing the solvency rate as a possible dividend payout. We're talking about 9 months. Dresdner Bank, Commerzbank. What has improved for the group? Of course, we have a small bank state in bank state, but first of all, with Dresdner Bank, we had 100%, Commerzbank only short of 30%. Second, I think that, and we had a discussion a couple of weeks ago, that the merger of Dresdner and Commerzbank makes sense. and leads to the creation of a strong competitive institute going forward. So that also under that aspect we have generated an improvement. And thirdly, we adjusted our core business segments and the focus for the future. Thank you. Next question. Stefan Kohnen from Börsenzeitung. Good morning. I have one question. After your lengthy presentation and the many slides, there's a question for me about your Iceland commitment. Is Allianz also involved? And if so, what is the burden for you? Well, thank you for the comprehensive presentation, Clark. In Iceland, we had a commitment in the insurance area of 26 million. They were fully marked down. And this is due to the fact that the Allianz Health in Iceland has insurance business, underwrites insurance business, and of course cash flows were generated that was marked down. In the era of Deutsche Bank, we had a markdown of 30 million. This is due to one of the three institutes, and two of the three institutes that went into default as per 30th of September. The third institute, I don't know what we'll do about it, we have to see. And the fourth quarter, there may be burdens in the two-digit area for the Deutsche Bank. In the insurance business, there was nothing happened. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Teurer, Frankfurt Allgemeine. Good morning. Three questions are noted for you. First, there's one item I missed. You mentioned value adjustments in the fourth quarter of 1 billion. Could you just tell me about the premises? I lost them. And second, so is the bank, can you estimate further burdens for the next quarters? And one point was mentioned, increasing capital is necessary for Commerzbank. You said 1040, currently Commerzbank is 870 or something like that. So you can see there will be further burdens. Can you just give us a rough estimate of the neighborhood that can be expected? And third, you just mentioned when you talked about the meaning and the sense of the swap, Dresdner and Commerzbank, you said there is an adjustment of the business segment. What do you mean by that? Does that mean that fairly quickly you will get rid of your share in Commerzbank? Because otherwise it will not be a real adjustment and keep the shares on the portfolio and just say it's no longer our core business. Well, one, two, three, value adjustment. If you go back to page 36, page 36 again gives you an overview of various scenarios, what happens when certain events occur, rates decline regarding the level of 13th of September. And you see, if the level, if the rates improve by, change by 10%, would be 0.6 million, 0.6 billion impairment, decline of further 30%, 1.8 billion impairments. And what I said was, if the rates, the rate level as per 31st of October persists and will not change until the 31st of December, will be somewhere between 10 and 20% scenarios. And with that approach, given the present status, we would have 1 billion additional impairments for the fourth quarter. That's clear. Thank you. Second point, Dresdner burden, further quarters and so on. I think we have to take two things apart. First is, I tried to explain that to you, make clear to you, the result of Dresdner Bank for Q4 and also as far as January, that we had the closing and the 40% to the second step was added and 40% had to be reported as equity in Great Sabah, and also the current results. Again, the results of the Isna Bank basically play no role in our books any longer, because via value adjustment, which also has the book value recognition of the Isna Bank, are absorbed. There's only one scenario possible where the Isna Bank results could still play a role in the Allianz financial statements. That is, if the run-off bank results of the Isna Bank are negative and higher than 1.4 billion impairment that we've now written in our books. Second, regardless of that, if Commerzbank is in our books, how will the Commerzbank rate affect our results? And the answer is the Commerzbank rate basically will not have an effect, because the Commerzbank shares and the Commerzbank shares are not reported as the stock exchange rate, but as equity, that is, with the shareholders' equity. It would only have an effect if somewhere you come to a result, it would have to come to the result that due to the perspective of earnings of Commerzbank, the equity base of Commerzbank will not be worth the equity capital, but will also have an impairment. If you assume that Commerzbank in the future will generate sustainable profits, this scenario will be unlikely and can be excluded. Last point, if I say adjustment, I meant that in the future, of course, banking will be part of our strategy, and you can see that from the fact that we continue OLB, takeover of agency acquired Allianz customers and further activities, because we want to offer banking products to our customers in future too, and OLB is available as a factory for that purpose. So that is what the customer wants, and we can provide that. And if there are complex products, there are more complex products needed, for instance, you can buy them from Commerzbank and offer them to our customers. And again, Mr. Teuber, is it a major difference whether you have a bank at 100% hold it at that percentage and a certain focus of management and similar things, or whether you have a minority interest in a bank that in all other respects going forward may not have such a complex business model as the previous one with Isna Bank? Thank you. Next question, please. Marcus Voss from Focus Money. Hello, just a short question. You always said that Allianz is taking a risky share towards Commerzbank. Has it been used up with that 135, I think it was 835 in that quarter. I think it's 957 that you're talking about, 75. So am I calculating right, it is a buffer of 140 million left? No, you're miscalculating, Mr. Voss. First of all, to clarify things, the risk of is 957, which Commerzbank gets from the sales price into the trust, and based on that they have a first close date of 275. So on the whole, we have 105.2 million that we're talking about. And at the end of the day, it will be a matter whether from the positions that are collateralized by the trust, an ultimate loss will be run up. So there will be really liquidity losses. There's a date where value adjustments, but no credit losses. So that's it. Thank you. Next question. Hello. My first question, the position on the acquisition strategy of Allianz. How great is the interest of RGF in France? And the second question, the brand RGF, important decisions were made regarding the brand RGF in France. What are these decisions? Thank you. Regarding your first question, I can only repeat what I said before regarding Mr. Hoffman. Of course, course, we look at the situation, if there are any possibilities out there, but I emphasize once again that basically for all decisions that we take, they have to pay off financially. The most important decision factor is the keeping our capital base, and then all other respective on your special questions will understand that I cannot speak on individual transaction and continue with my no comment policy and have to stick by the policy. Earlier, friend, you know, we start to try rebranding and we'll also continue on that track according to schedule. According to schedule, what do you mean by that? Currently, I have to think about our communication strategy. I think that in 2009 that will take place. Depends on the various divisions. Can you tell us more about it? Which will be the business involved that will get the Allianz brand as the first one? I think industrial business will be renamed and then private retail business. Thank you. Next question. Carsten Seibel from Die Welt. Good morning, everybody. Three questions. First of all, to clarify things regarding the bailout package, you think that there will be any form to exclude that bailout package, or was it clear? May it just be a guarantee or something? And then instead of control and keeping premiums were mentioned. Can you elaborate on that? What were the exact figures? And will there be additional costs? And the third question, how could analysts be so wrong in that quarter? What were the reasons? Regarding your first item, again, I pointed out to you, first of all, with 8%, we have a capital base, which is standalone, sufficient for that, but also the target ratio of the English Institute. And also pointed out, second, that Baseline Bank has no liquidity problems. So against that background, from the present situation, this bailout package can be excluded regarding change of control and keeping premiums. There is a ghost of a new figure. 400 million keeping premiums. This cannot be said. There's a pool, a bonus pool, which may be 400 million, and a component of that 400 million are keeping premiums. Let me explain that to you. Of course, also if you look at the investment bank of Dresdner Bank, that within the partial area of global banking, there are many operations going that perform very well. Just in one example, FSCC, commodities and grains and other items, that due to their results and the agreements have claimed to bonuses. And we'll see that in the fee accounting at the end of the year, of course, and this is right. Also for individual items or parts of the workforce in areas that underperform or we have holding premiums that are part of these 400 million. However, seen from the shareholders, we think they were necessary to have a proper continuation of the business and a sound surrender of the business to Commerzbank and integration into Commerzbank. And I think that was a sound decision, both from the perspective of Allianz shareholders and from the perspective of Commerzbank shareholders. And at the end of the day, of course, we'll also have a share in Commerzbank 28% plus. So why were analysts wrong, so wrong with their estimates? I think explaining the slide 10, you could see that the assessment of all that thing was not so uncomplicated. It starts with the assessment of sales agreements and inputs. And I think it has been overlooked that Commerzbank in our books is not listed with the public exchange rate, but at equity. Okay, just a short follow-up question. The holding system, what is the part of $400 million in the third quarter of $212 million change of rental and keeping premiums? Well, I cannot give you the exact figures of the holding premiums at the present time, because at the end of the day, it what turns out is a holding premium, and I try to explain it to you, depends on the actual results, and we still have 7 weeks to go until they come in, but it will not be more than 400 million only plus holding premiums. Yes, that is our present expectation. Thank you very much. Next question. Our next question is Hagel from Handelsblatt. So hello everybody, again the questions. Briefly, my predecessor in asking question, 400 million, could you give us a sense of the magnitude of the neighbors, half of the holding premiums, or just a quarter, just to give us a rough idea. Second, you in Commerzbank always emphasize that continuous little transactions are on schedule, but do you see any possibilities for failure? I'm asking you because there was a report to the effect that you might be forced to use loans which would jeopardize the takeover of the remaining 40% of trades. Now, but was not clear to me at the time. Now, so I'm asking you directly, can you imagine any loans? Well, the magnitude of the holding premiums, I cannot give you any exact figures, but at the end, it will certainly, to come back to your proposal, be less than a third. Okay, thank you. Failure Copa, at the present time, I do not see any reason why the deal should not be closed. And needing a loan for Commerzbank is just a rumor. I think that's all I have to add to that. Could there be a possible constellation where we would have to do that? Of course, it was just a rumor, but maybe there may be any objective things that do not even create such a situation. Would it be possible? At the present time, I cannot think of any such situation, and I think we all had the press conference of Commerzbank. We heard the press conference. They had a small loss, but Commerzbank on the whole is very solid. And in addition, they have further funds from the socket. So I'm running out of fantasy of imagination. Next question. Our next question comes from Herr Pomerkel, and I'm Deutscher. Good morning. Mr. Behrendt in health, sharp decline in Italy and in Asia. Does it mean that business models in emerging markets and with a strong growth expectations are losing out, and maybe they have suffered a few scratches, and the premium revenues was with a certain delay, will they continue in the next quarter? Can you see that development? Second question. And PNC, in the quarterly report, you can see that prices are still under pressure, and this is being discussed controversially in the market. You feel the declining prices, and why is the German Allianz PNC shrunk by 9.9% in the same period? Regarding Fechler Bank again, also from your company, we have to say there are rumors. Let's say we have to renegotiate things. Could you tell us once again whether the sharp decline of the share price in Commerzbank is reflected in a demand for renegotiation? But as Mr. Diekmann said, that the total value of transaction is newly reflected, and this applies to your statement too. Can you tell us once again whether there will be renegotiations or not, or which direction will be headed? From Italy, Asia, certainly the model has suffered scratches, and I tried to express that particularly in these areas where we have banking business and non-current contributions, of the reasons very simple, and you know that reason too. The banks in that environment, of course, depend on their liquidity. They're keen on their liquidity. They still get very attractive terms for short-term money of 5% plus. And every customer will think whether he just park it for good money before making a long-term commitment. So at the present time, very clearly, there is some pressure, and it will only ease and normalize when markets on a whole have reached a more normal attitude and position. And at the present time, we also see that the reserve banks also will reduce the interest on a nationwide basis and lead to some correction. And in Italy, and you know that, of course, the corporation down to Veneta has been fully paralyzed, and in the past, 1 billion plus were contributed by them to the top line, and this is lost now. But in Asia, it's representatives of business. In Asia, primarily in Taiwan, we operate through banks heavily. In China too, as you know, we go via banks. And in China in 2007, we've grown heavily. In China, the market uniting via banks has been practically come to a standstill due to the development we have in the recent years. So we are practically back on the previous year levels. So there are really effects that can be felt and that are in life and DNC. Yes, the prices are under pressure in all markets. And I mentioned the implications for our business. In the first 9 months, we see pricing effect of 0.5%, and that is certainly on the whole a little bit better than you can observe through the market, but it has to do with our selective underwriting policy. Of course, yes, in Germany we have P&C decreased, it's a volume effect where the contracts have diminished a little bit, decreased. Rumors regarding negotiations, I don't know them. What I can tell you, there will be no renegotiations. I didn't know how we should do that. We have a signed contract. Thank you. Next question, please. Stefan Krone, Börsenzeitung. Mr. Teller, follow-up question regarding your net income after 9 months. There is a repercussion of the result after tax of 7 billion and now only 657 million euros. This is my question. Do you expect in the current financial statement ending a loss? And on the annual basis, do you expect a small net profit? Is that still possible? Mr. Kronek, presently, of course, it's very difficult to say, even if we only have 8 weeks to go until the end of the quarter, to give you any forecast regarding the background of what is going on out there in the financial markets. And I would not be reluctant to give you a forecast, but if you assume that in the third quarter we have an operative result of 1.5 billion, with a net income of 500 million, that in the third quarter, 1 billion impairment are included, even more than 1 billion. If you add that, what is lying in the operative result, depending on whether the markets will stay where they are, as said, with the share price, the way we had it at the end of October, another billion of impairment, then you can assume that there will be a positive result at the end of the year. But I don't know whether the impairment will be a billion at the end of the year or even more. I cannot tell you at the present time. But Mr. Pelle, if I came up with another question, you're just talking about continued operations, including Dresdner Bank, that's still being consolidated by you again. Good that you ask the question again. Because I said repeatedly, very clearly, basically, no matter how the Dresdner Bank performs in the fourth quarter, not impact on our results just assume they have 500 million in losses, but this is not a forecast, just an example that I give you. Only the components of these 2.5 billion will be different. If they have 500 million losses of Dresdner, of course, the loss will increase, but our value adjustment goes from 1.4 billion to 0.9 billion because the book value will decrease of Dresdner Bank. There will be no impact on our results. Thank you very much for the clarification. This is very complicated. Yes, it really is. Next question, please. Just to remind you, to ask a question, just put the star button on your phone. Now a follow-up question by Markus Heuber from Frankfurter Allgemeine. Mr. Perlitz, I asked you about it before, and you explained it to me, but I didn't get it fully. I have to admit, at equity assessment, could you explain it to me? What are the circumstances that play a role here for that role of assessment and could lead to further burdens? You report the equity capital, if it shrinks in Commerzbank proportionately, will that be led to the profit and loss account? How do you do that?
Well, technically speaking, again, basically, you know, if you have an interest in another company of 20% plus, that interest has to be reported as equity. Something has to be done also if it's less than 20%. That is, if some business policy or business connections play a role, if you have supervisory board member and so on. If you report as equity, you report from the moment where Commerzbank is listed in our books. It's still not in our books. We just report an anticipated loss from the transaction. If it's in our books, then report it at 20% of the equity capital or 28.6% of the equity capital of Commerzbank, plus 28.6% of the current results of Dresdner Bank. Now we have two components. As far as the participation result is concerned, 28.6% in the result of Commerzbank will also go into our results, and the change of equity reporting, that is the mere equity company unlisted profit and loss driven, basically will be neutral on effect and go via the equity. In other words, going forward, if Commerzbank has a profit, 28.6% of the profit will be shown in our results. If it runs up a lot, 28.6% of the loss will also go on top. The equity changes are neutral in terms of the result. That is, the share price can do what it wants, does not influence your result. The share price of Commerzbank does not affect our results, basically. Thank you.
Are there further questions?
No further questions.
I wish you a nice day and see you soon. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. This closes the telephone conference call, and we thank you for your attention and wish you a nice day.